And it's at this point that I believe the disciples began to make two lists. Doesn't say this, but I'm doing the lucky interpretation here. Hang with me. What can I control? Well, the disciples could control their oar, maybe their breathing, but that's about it. Now, over here on this side of the list, what they can control was overwhelming. The wind and the waves and the storm and the darkness that was utterly scary. And in the most uncontrolled and chaotic place on earth, out on the sea in a storm. Now, what we have here in our text is a situation where they are totally overwhelmed. It's not by sin that's come their way. They're totally overwhelmed by their situation. Can you relate to that? Ever been there before? Overwhelmed with your situation? You didn't cause a bad decision. It wasn't sin. It was just your situation's overwhelming. I can. I recall maybe a situation where you felt like things are out of control. I can recall a camping trip that I went on in my college years. I went on a few on the Clark Fork in Montana, and it was a 3 or 4 day journey, if I remember correctly. And we are camping each night, kind of fording, and then set up tent and camping and so forth. And we did what most people do when they go out on camping. You do a whole bunch of things to make you feel like you're in control. That's what you do when you go camping. So we got a tent. You know that you've got guaranteed shelter. Yeah, it's guaranteed. And we got sleeping bags. Oh, it's going to be comfy and cozy at night. Oh, it's going to be great. And then we got clothing just in case it got really cold, clothing in case it got really hot. We covered all the bases, any kind of remedy for a bee sting, all sorts of things. We had a grill, and this group of men, we had like gourmet food even. Like this was like really fancy camping. And as we left on the expedition, the feeling was, hey, we're going out into the middle of nowhere, a place that's totally uncontrolled, but we're in charge. It's awesome. You ever done that? Second day of the journey, forded at the end of the day, put out our tents and set up kind of on the embankment of the Clark Fork to sleep that night. And sometime around 11 o'clock at night, a terrible rainstorm came. And within about a half hour, there's about 2 inches of water inside the tent. See, all those things that we had prepared and coordinated and organized to make sure that we're in control were taken away in a matter of a half hour. That tent pretty much blown to smithereens. The sleeping bag that was supposed to be comfort and guaranteed extra sleep, totally soaked. The clothes that were supposed to warm us and keep us going for a few more days, completely soaked. Even some of that gourmet food to make us think that, boy, we're really on top of the world, ruined and spoiled. And then for a couple days, we were completely at the elements. Have you ever gotten to that point? Yeah. Now, it can come to us with a death out of nowhere. Out of death, out of nowhere, a death comes, and it's uncontrolled. There's nothing that we can do. It can come with a health challenge that you didn't expect. It can come with all sorts of things. And so that conventional wisdom that I started out my sermon with, put buckets and focus on what you can control. You see, that's not going to get us through life. We need something more than that. We need something more. That something more, of course, is Jesus. Jesus is able to control the very things that control us. Or another way of putting it is Jesus is able to control those things that we can't control. That's right here in our text here. And I want to point it out in this passage. How is this? And this is our comfort and our peace and our rest. First of all, in verse 19, it says that it implies here that Jesus saw his disciples. How did he see him? He was up on a mountaintop. Did he have like binoculars from Mary's Peak looking down? What is this text saying? Jesus sees everything. He knows everything about you.
He knows the, in a good way. He knows the silent struggles. He knows the intense pain. He knows what you don't want to talk about. He knows how hard you're rowing in the middle of the night. He knows your anxiety. He knows you. He sees you is what this text is saying. Then in verse 19, it goes on. That's powerful, but I'm gonna notch it up a little bit. Verse 19 then says, he came to the disciples. And what does it say? He walked to them, or he's walking on the sea. Advanced Bible study nugget here. The word for walking there, peripateo, that is more like he's kind of strolling on the sea. He's skipping. All right, so what's that about? Why does it say that? He could have just said walking. Why does it say he's kind of like strolling on the sea? What is going on? In other words, what John is relating to us is that the most fearful place, the most chaotic and uncontrollable place on the earth, ain't nothing but a little stroll in the park for Jesus. That's what that's saying. Your big monster, whether it be death or that health challenge that just came into your life, it's just a snap of the finger for Jesus. Now that's powerful, but let's take it up a notch. Jesus comes to his disciples and he says this. In our text it says, what does it say? It is I, he says. That's how that's translated, by the way. That's not what it says. Jesus says, ego, I, me. He says, I am, is what that says. Now, if you know the Bible, as you look at the Bible, where else does that phrase appear? That's the word that God uses with Moses in the burning bush. God says to Moses, I am who I am. And Moses, Charlton Heston, what does he do? He's like, whoa, amazing. That's what Jesus says to these disciples who are out of control and in utter chaos. I am. I have no beginning or end, but I'm here with you. And Jesus is here with you. And he is on your side.